Turn that on. In John chapter 6 is kind of where I left off last Sunday. But let me again reiterate this fact, that when the Apostle Paul cried out with that, I won't just say knowledge, because it's knowledge, but it's more than knowledge. It's knowledge that has with it understanding. It's a knowledge that has with it perception. And it's a knowledge that has with it experience. And the phrase I'm talking about is when Paul cried out, "O wretched man that I am." Now, if you can't relate to that passage, you're not converted. Just that simple. If you cannot relate to that passage, if you don't say, "I have some idea of what the Apostle Paul meant when he said, O wretched man, O wretched person, O wretched woman, O wretched child, whatever, O wretched man that I am." If you can't relate to that, you've not been converted.
That's true.
You don't know God.
That's true.
Now, God may know you, but you don't as yet know God. When Paul made that statement, "O wretched man that I am," remember what he said. "Who shall deliver me?" What? It's not just regeneration. Regeneration enables this to happen. But what conversion does is conversion is that experience where a person begins to see what they really are, and they begin to see the absolute necessity of the person and work of Jesus Christ. They might not know much about the person and work of Jesus Christ, but they begin to see the absolute necessity of the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
If you've not been there,
yeah,
you're not converted.
True.
Now, I'm reiterating again, I don't care if you believe in election. Believing in election is not conversion.
Exactly.
It may be a kind of conversion. But a person can be converted and believe in the doctrine of election and still miss Christ. A person can believe in predestination. You can believe in the phrase or the truth even behind the phrase in its proper aspects. Once saved, always saved. You can believe in the Trinity. You can believe that the Holy Ghost is fully God. You can believe in the virgin birth. You can believe all of these truths and yet not know the truth. And remember, it's more than just, as I said, it's more than just knowing things. It's more than just a knowledge. The devils know Jesus Christ, right?
Oh, yeah.
You remember, it was quite a few that was in this one guy. They said, "We know who you are."
Oh, yeah.
You know, the devils know more about Christ than men do.
Exactly.
Until those men are regenerated and converted.
Exactly.
You know, the devil said, "We know you. Are you come to torment us before our time?" It's not just the knowledge, but remember, it is, as I said the last few weeks, the last few times, it is that personal encounter that a person has, that an individual has, with Jesus of Nazareth. Every person, well, let me say, most people, I won't say every, because there were some people whom Christ blessed and they'd never even seen him. But their blessing was requested by someone else. And that has a truth behind it as well. But it's a truth that is lied about by most folk.
Oh, yeah.
That is, you remember the Syrophoenician woman? The Gentile woman who came up and begged the Lord's help. And the disciples said, "Send her away."
Yep.
You know, basically, get this Gentile out of our way.
Yep.
This is embarrassing. She kept on and kept on. And what was she asking for? Help for herself? No, she says, "My daughter is grievously vexed." Right? She pleaded for Christ's blessing for another person. Now, you know what religion says, don't you?
Yeah.
That's how important we are to other people. We need to get out there and get souls saved.
Oh, yeah.
But that ain't the story that tells us.
Exactly.
That it takes, the truth that tells us is it takes Christ to intercede for us. That's the truth of the matter. Christ is the despised woman that no one wants to hear, that everyone else wants to go away to the side, that intercedes for us with God Almighty and secures our blessing. Because even as our Lord told her, he said, "Woman, great is your faith." I haven't even found that kind of faith in Israel.
Exactly.
And then what did he say to her? "Be it unto you as you will." Now that's saying something.
Yes, sir.
That's saying something. No, Christ is, remember according to Paul in Colossians, Christ is all.
Amen.
So that doesn't say that other things are not necessarily important. It's not what it's saying. Christ is all. That doesn't mean other things are not important. But what it does say is you can have all of those other things. If you don't have Christ, you've missed it.
Exactly.
Right? That's what it does say.
Amen.
And somebody said, "Well, what other things are you talking about?" I mean every other thing unless it's Christ. And I will include faith with that.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to give you something here, and you think about it. Don't answer it out loud. I don't want you to, you know, the old phrase, you know, it's better to, you know, it's better to be a fool and keep your mouth shut, you know, than to be a fool and open your mouth and prove it to everybody. It's something like that. So, you know, don't try to answer it out loud. I include in that even faith, because while Scripture speaks of being saved by faith, Scripture never speaks of faith being a savior.
Exactly.
Now, logic may say, well, faith saves, then faith has to be a savior. But scripturally speaking, that's not so. Here's another illustration. Same thing. Scripture, Joe read it. Scripture speaks of being justified by faith. But faith is never declared to be a justifier. You know, well, when I say it, it's going to give it away. But you know, I hope you know that. You know who the justifier is, don't you?
Exactly.
Scripture always says, it's who. It's a who.
Yes, sir.
Salvation is never in a what. It's always in a who.
Exactly.
And that's why Paul, when breaking it down into doctrinal detail, says, Joe quoted that as well, "For by grace are ye saved." Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
Through faith.
Yes.
Now most people think, well, you could just turn that around, it doesn't matter, for by faith are you saved through grace. But see, that puts the cart before the horse.
Exactly.
That's taking God's doctrine, God's truth, and twisting it into a lie.
Exactly.
There Paul clearly defines the doctrinal truth of salvation by God, because grace is not something from or separate from God. Grace is not just what God gives. It says God is the God of all grace.
Amen.
Scripture defines God as what? Gracious.
Yes, sir.
Therefore, grace is not just what he gives. It's not just what he does. But it's who God is.
Amen.
Right? It's who God is. You see, when we talk about salvation, we talk about deliverance. When we're talking about, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me?" You best be looking to Christ. I had best be looking to Christ.
Yes.
And I mean today. I don't care what we did yesterday. I mean today.
Yeah.
There were people who looked to Christ yesterday, but they quit looking to Christ today.
That's right.
And they're no more saved than my dog is. Scripture is quite clear. He that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved.
Amen.
You know, when I used to be a good Baptist, I had trouble with that. Because I thought, as long as you made your decision, you're going to be saved no matter what. And you realize salvation's not in a decision, it's in a who.
Amen.
Somebody said, "Well, you have to make a decision for Jesus." No, you don't. You remember what Christ said? Somebody said, "You got to choose Jesus." They have bumper stickers and signs.
Oh, yeah.
"Choose Jesus."
Oh, yeah.
You know what? Scripture never says, "Choose Jesus."
No, sir.
Never. You can't choose Jesus. Men may, being enabled by the Spirit of God, men may, having been given life by God, they may choose to follow Christ.
Yes.
They may choose to serve Christ. They may choose to believe Christ. But you can't, I can't choose Christ. God, the Father, chose Christ. Christ. He is chosen, period. It's done.
Yes, sir.
He is God's elect one, his chosen one. We don't choose him. And he said so. You remember, he was talking, there were 12 of them there, but he was talking to 11.
Yeah.
He knew who that 12th one really was, right?
Oh, yeah.
From the beginning, he knew he was an adversary.
Yeah.
A devil, that's what he said.
Yes, sir.
But he said to those 11, ye have not chosen me, I have chosen you. And I remember trying to explain that away years ago, even after I knew the truth. Mm-hmm. Now, why did I do that? Because it still offended my sensibilities.
Yeah.
Hmm? I said, now what Jesus was really talking about, what he meant was what he said.
That's right.
We didn't choose him. He chose us.
Amen.
Somebody said, God enabled me to choose Jesus. No, he'd have to make you God for you to choose Jesus. The Father chose Jesus. We don't choose Jesus. It's a misnomer. It's a lie. We don't choose Jesus. And that's why Jesus said so.
That's right.
And I'll say it again. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Now why don't we just believe that?
Amen.
Huh? No, but even us, his people, sometimes we got to try to twist that around, don't we? Just like Don Fortner said, and that quote still just sticks in my mind because I used to say different, that total depravity doesn't mean I'm as bad as I can be. Mm-hmm. Well, yes, it does. You see? And I used to try to explain that, not necessarily away, Joe, but to soften it a little. You see? And as Don said, see, the thing is, we are as bad as we can be. And the only reason we don't do the worst of things in society that man has done, we're capable of whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And the only reason we haven't is because it's not been advantageous for us to do so.
Exactly.
And Don Fortner made that statement. I thought, yeah, boy, preach to him, brother. Preach to him. Well, that's my first thought. Hammer down on him, brother. Huh? When he told him, you know what he told him? You'd be a child molester right now today if it was advantageous to you.
Yeah.
That's what he said. Now that, folks, that's bringing it right down. You know what? That's what I said. Well, I preached to them. Them dirty, filthy, depraved people. You know what I mean? Huh? That's my first thought.
Oh, yeah.
Tell them.
You're right.
You know who he was talking to? You know who he was talking about? Me. Me. You talk about self-righteous. It's when you hear the truth and then you go start bitching at somebody else about how you better straighten up. Huh? Is that all right if I can use that word? It's what people do. They hear the truth and then go tell somebody else how they ought to be living by it.
Yeah.
Rather than saying, buddy, I need to bow down to God.
Exactly.
I've done it. Huh? Hear the truth of God and say, boy, and people need to hear that. You ever been there? Boy, I'm glad they heard that today. I've been there. You see, God doesn't give, I don't hear something for me to go tell y'all something. You see, when I stand here and preach, if I don't see this myself, it's nothing but self-righteousness.
Exactly.
That's all it is.
That's it.
It's self-righteousness. And that's exactly what Christ meant when he said, he did not simply say, don't judge. He said, but if you're going to judge, you better judge yourself first. You got a great big stick in your eye. Get the stick out of your eye first. Then you can help your brother. That's why he's talking about helping your brother.
Yeah.
Not criticizing your brother.
Yeah.
Not trying to get your brother to straighten up.
Yeah.
He or she will not do it until God Almighty enables them to do it.
Exactly.
But it's talking about taking the stick out of your own eye. Then you'll be able to help your brother or sister get the little speck out of their own eye. No, we are a depraved people. And it's true, I would be a child molester today if it wasn't for the very fact I do not see it as advantageous. Huh? Now there are people who say, boy, they say it. They're like that publican. God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. And you know what? You might not be. With what you do out here. You know, with what you do with your hands. With what people see. You might not be like other people. But when it comes to our nature, what we are capable of. We are the worst of the worst.
Exactly. That's it.
It's not someone else is the prime example. I am the prime example of depravity.
Yes, sir.
I'm the prime example of total depravity.
Yes, sir.
I was asked, well, actually, Joe asked me, it doesn't matter. But, you know, who I was talking about last Sunday. Well, I'm not going to say it out loud. About who I wished I'd had more compassion toward. I'm not just up here, folks, talking about generalities. I'm not up here just preaching theories. I'm talking about real life. I'm talking about things you do that affect other people. That's what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
I'm not up here preaching hearsay. I'm preaching what I know down in here. What I've been through down in here. And the problem is, we cry out, "Oh, wretched man that I am," and I can relate to that, but I don't always relate to that.
You're right. That's it.
You know that?
Exactly.
I can relate. I know by experience what Paul meant when he said, "Oh, wretched I am."
Yes.
Not, "Boy, look at what I used to be."
Yeah.
Look at what I used to be. No, I can relate to what Paul meant, what he said. I can taste it. I can taste it. Oh, wretched I am.
Exactly.
I am. But sadly, I don't always relate to that.
Right.
Sometimes I look out and I say, "Oh, wretched that they are."
Yeah.
But you know what? There is a time to say that.
Yes, sir.
You know what? There is a time to say that. Well, Joe, you went to it, and Joe quoted it. "We pray that we might be delivered from what? Unreasonable and wicked men."
Yeah.
We're all wicked.
Yeah.
But not everyone is unreasonable and wicked.
Exactly.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Some people you can talk to, and they'll just brush you off. "Well, there's another crazy."
Oh, yeah.
"There's another nut."
Oh, yeah.
But some people, you tell them the truth of God, they will want to do you harm.
Yes, sir.
And if it were advantageous to them, they would kill you.
Oh, yeah.
Just to shut you up.
Yes, sir.
Now, there are sinners. We need to be compassionate towards sinners. But you know what the scripture says to do? Making a difference.
Yes, sir.
Huh? We don't have to have compassion to all sinners just because they're sinners. Huh? There are some sinners that don't know they're sinners.
Yeah.
They refuse to acknowledge that they're sinners. They reject the truth that they're sinners. They actually think they're pretty daggone good people. You think you can have compassion toward them?
That's it.
Huh? Do you think, what will they do to you if you try to show compassion toward them? What will they do if you take your pearls and lay them out before them? They will trample those pearls under their feet and then turn and rend you. So see, Scripture is not just all this little logical A, B, C, 1, 2, 3. I've got it all down pat now. Right? We've got to be compassionate. That's right, but you better watch out. Some people take your compassion and they'll use it against you and they'll treat you bad because of it. And you say, "Well, I'll take it for the Lord's glory." That's right, but don't drag somebody else into it with you.
Yeah.
Because most of the time what we do, it ain't for the Lord's glory.
Yeah.
It's for our own advantage.
You're right.
Most of the time.
Yeah, that's it.
Because most of the time if we do it for the Lord's glory, we don't even know about it.
Exactly.
We're not even aware that we've done something of benefit. You know that? If God is so pleased, you may find out years later you said something or did something that actually benefited somebody. And I know you people come up and say, "I appreciate that." And that's good. That helps out. It encourages, don't it, Mason? Somebody comes along and says, "I appreciate what you did." But what's that proof of? It's proof that we like to give credit to one another. Right? When God gets the credit. He that waters and he that sows are, what's Paul's word? What does it say?
Yeah.
N-O-T-H-I-N-G.
Yeah.
Do you give credit for something to nothing?
Exactly. That's it.
People do.
Yeah.
They claim this world, something, this universe, a great something, came from what? Nothing. That's the way it happened. Don't you know that? These kids know that. They go to school. They're taught that. That all of this great something came from nothing. So we give credit to the nothing.
Yeah.
Rather than God.
Exactly.
And we do that all the time. Yeah. We credit one another. And you know, that's what God says almost. God says even the heathen do that. They either accuse or excuse one another. You know what we ought to be doing? Encouraging one another.
Yeah.
Isn't that what the scripture says to do? Encouraging one another. Edifying one another in love. But that's hard to do when everybody's not like you. Ain't it? That's hard to do when everybody's not like you. If they were just more like me, it'd be easier. It wouldn't be such a hard job. You know what I mean? Ain't that the way we don't just think that way. We live that way sometimes.
Right.
If they were just more like me, it wouldn't be so damn blame hard on them. Life wouldn't be so difficult. And then next thing you know, you turn around, you got the tears running down your own eyes.
Yeah.
Huh? Because you're too daggone dull to see the truth of God. And I'm not talking about them out there. I'm talking about us.
That's it.
And somebody says, well, you've left the passage. What you're talking, no, oh, wretched man that I am. Now, there is a time and a proper reason to talk about what I was. Mm-hmm. You know that?
Oh, yeah.
Now, you turn with me. I'll show you. Mm-hmm. It's either 1 or 2 Timothy. I know where it's at on the page, so we will find it. I don't have it wrote down here. It's 1 Timothy. There is a time, a proper time, there is a proper a place to where we talk about what we used to be.
Yeah.
And it is okay to talk about it in light of what God has done for us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But we have to beware lest we believe that since that has happened, we are so far removed from what we truly are that we forget, oh wretched man that I am.
That's it.
Now, I wish I was a better speaker so that I could say that in words and everybody say, oh, I get that. But the truth is, you ain't really going to get it, no matter how great an orator I am. You ain't really going to get it until you've been there.
Yeah.
You know, the truth of God is one of those things you can't teach people into. They have to be brought into it by God. Then when you tell them about it, they say, well, that's the way it happens to me.
Yeah.
You see? That's the way it happened. You know, Scripture says so. They shall not say every man to his neighbor, know the Lord.
That's right.
Right? Exactly. Ain't that what it says?
Yes, sir.
Exactly. I'm not off here in left field somewhere. Mm-hmm. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. Now, let me just begin in verse 6 for somewhat of the context here. 1 Timothy chapter 1. From which some have swerved. Now, swerved from what? A pure heart and a good conscience and a faith unpretended.
Yeah.
Okay, unfeigned. From which some, having swerved, have what? Turned.
Yeah.
You see? Turned aside unto vain jangling.
Yeah.
And what is that? It's just like a bell ringing. You know what I mean? That doesn't have any particular cult. It just rings. It just jingles. This is why, and there have been other times, why during the Civil War, they didn't just get up there and blow them horns because they liked music.
No.
Those horns were signals, you know?
Yeah.
And if the retreat signal was blown, you didn't want to be dumb enough to not know it and then charge because you'd be by yourself.
That's it.
Huh? I mean, if the commander said retreat, and he didn't, you know, retreat. Oh, yeah, pow, boom. You want to hear that? They had men up and down the line that, Mason, that's what they did. And they blew a call, and it said, retreat. You best retreat.
That's right.
But what if they just rung the bell?
Yeah.
Well, what's going on? What's going on? What's happening, right? What's all? Vain jangling.
Yeah.
Now, I know there's people that think that's what we do. But it's because they're natural men and they can't understand the sound of the trumpet.
Exactly.
That's why. Yeah. They've never been taught by God's Spirit the tune.
Yeah.
But these people, they turn aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. In other words, they don't know where they're coming from nor where they're going, either one.
Exactly.
That's the way we'd say it today.
Yeah.
But we know that the law is good. Now, the law ain't bad. There are people that think we hate the law. No, we don't hate the law. The law taught me what sin is.
Yes, sir.
The law showed me how bad I really am.
Exactly.
It still shows me how bad I really am.
Yes, sir.
You know? But we know that the law is good if a man use it how? Lawfully. Use it in the right way. Not for righteousness' sake, but for knowledge's sake.
Exactly.
For by the law is what? Joe, you quoted that one. For by the law is what? The knowledge of sin.
Amen.
For we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine,
exactly,
according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God which is committed to my trust. And not only that, Paul says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Now, let me stop a moment, because there are people who read that and say, God seen Paul would be faithful.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what God seen, don't you? A man who hated the name of Christ so much that he was trying to eradicate those on this earth who used his name. Other than in some blasphemous way.
Yeah.
No, it says he counted me faithful. That puts God in charge of him being faithful. Putting me into the ministry. Now, he didn't just call him. Paul, I hope you'll do this. Huh? You hear these people, well, the Lord called me, but I fought him for years. Well, I don't know who called you, but it wasn't God Almighty.
That's exactly right.
That's the truth, folks. I mean, I said it, I think it was last week. You asked Jonah.
Yeah, exactly.
When God calls you to do something, you will do it.
Amen.
I don't care whether you're one of his, a Jonah, or whether you're a heathen king.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's right, there were heathen kings. God Almighty made them do what he purposed for them to do for the benefit of his people.
Yes, sir.
He even chose them to specific jobs. No, he put me into the ministry. Who was what? Before a blasphemer. Mm-hmm. Now, Paul, boy, I'm such a blasphemer. Huh? Well, you ought not talk about yourself that way if you're a child of God.
Exactly.
Now, within me, that is within my flesh, is nothing but blasphemy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But it's no longer I that does it. See, we've not left it. Paul's not saying one thing here or one thing there. He's always speaking on the same truth. It's no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. That's why I used to be a blasphemer. I am not anymore, but my flesh still is.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Here's the sad thing. Some people do it, and they truly know better.
Yeah.
Now, the problem is, for me, I'm not saying it can't be done, but the problem is, for me, I cannot so tell you these two things, or show you these two different kinds of people, so that you and I will be able to go out and pick them out.
Yeah.
I don't know that you can. Somebody might could, but I can't do it. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
But Paul says, there are some people, one was himself, that they obtained mercy. Why? Because they did it ignorantly in unbelief. Okay? But not everybody does.
Exactly.
Because Peter speaks of some people who started down the right path.
Yeah.
Right? And they turned from it. And what does he say?
Yeah.
That it would have been better for them not to have known the way of truth.
Exactly.
Not to even have known it. It'd been better. Is he exaggerating? Or is he moved by the Spirit of God to tell us the truth here?
Yeah.
It's the truth, right?
Yeah.
It would have been better for them not to have known the way of truth than after they've known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. You see, it's going to be worse off for some folk. There are some people who are doing these things ignorantly in unbelief, and they're going to continue to do them ignorantly in unbelief, and they're going to die and go to the lake of fire ignorantly and in unbelief. They're going to go there, Mason. But there are other people who are going to go there, but they know better. They've been right up, Joe, right up close to the front, right up close to the truth. They've even acknowledged the truth. They said, this is the truth. I believe Christ. You're God's people and I'm one of you. And then what do? They turn from it.
Yeah.
And Peter said it had been better for them not to even known it. They're just like the what? The sow.
Yeah.
That somebody's cleaned up.
Yep.
And then turns back to the pigsty.
Exactly.
Right? Or another illustration, Peter says, they're like a dog. It gets rid of its problems with inside, right? It gets rid of them for a while. But what does it do? Turns around and then returns to its own vomit. That's pretty daggone nasty to even think about.
You're right.
But that's the illustration that Peter's giving of these kind of people.
Yeah.
And here's the sad thing. Listen, Jude. See, this is what you used to learn in Sunday school. Jude, the shortest epistle in the Bible.
Yeah.
And if you got that, you got something. Just like the shortest, anybody know the shortest verse in the Bible? I do. I learned that in Sunday school. Come on now. Oh, y'all didn't go to Sunday school like you should, did you? Jesus wept. Smart kid. Well, we're teaching our kids the truth of God. How did I get off on that? Jude, the shortest book in the Bible. Listen how Jude puts this. I'll begin, verse 4. Time's almost gone here. For there are certain men crept in unawares. Now, that doesn't mean we don't know they're creeping in. It means we don't know who they are.
Exactly.
He knows they're creeping in. He's telling us they're creeping in, right?
Yep.
See, it's the men we don't recognize. For there are certain men crept in unawares. Now, here's the tough part, but it's part of God's Word. Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation.
Amen.
Well, I just wish it wouldn't have happened. Well, God Almighty ordained it to happen. It's going to happen.
Exactly.
Paul said, remember what Paul said to the Ephesian elders? He said, once I leave, grievous wolves are going to enter in.
Yes, sir.
They're going to. But you know what the hard part was? From where?
Yeah, exactly.
From among yourselves. Isn't that what he said? Among yourselves. Now here's what Jude said. For certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into greed.
Yeah.
It's called wanton greed. Exactly. Lasciviousness is the old English word used here. They turned the grace of God into greed. And denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, hath he reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day.
Yes.
Then that's two illustrations of it, right? Mm-hmm. Well, two examples of it.
Yeah.
Here's a third one. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah. And the cities about them. There was more than just two.
Oh yeah, that's right.
He calls them the cities of the plains.
Yeah.
Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers. Defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, what? Not I'm going to rebuke you. It's not I'm going to tell you what the truth is. What does he say? The Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beast in those things, They corrupt themselves. Folks, this happens all around us.
Yes, sir.
All around us. These people are all around us. And what does it say? Woe. You see that? Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain. They have ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kore. These are spots. Here's the scary part.
Yeah.
These are spots in your feast of charity. You know what that means, don't you? Just like I said, these people are going to be right in the midst of God's people.
Exactly.
That's the scary part.
Yes, sir.
Somebody said, well, what if that's me? Ain't nothing you can do about it. That's right. I'm not even, I can't say I'm sorry either.
No.
You know, as much as I'd love to say I'm sorry, if I'm one of them, ain't a blessed thing I can do about it, Mason. You know that? Well, I thought this thing of gospel and everything's supposed to be just all of it sweet and nice and so securing. Let me tell you something. There's some people right in the midst of God's people, they're in bad shape. You know? These are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. You know what that means, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
They're blowhards.
Yep, exactly.
They talk a lot, but there's nothing behind it. No substance. Clouds they are without water. Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. I know one thing, I don't want to be one of those.
Exactly. Exactly.
I ain't for sure who they are. Yeah. They're there, but I don't want to be one.
Yeah.
Because whoever they are, they're goners.
Yes, sir.
Right? We're not done. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam. So we know which one he's talking about, right? The one spoken of back there in the Old Testament. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. I hope I'm in that number.
Yes, sir.
With 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and all of their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him.
Yeah.
Don't sound like Jude feels too compassionate toward these folk, does it? Huh? These are what? Murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of what? Advantage. Advantage. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And then here it is. And of some having compassion, what? Making a difference. Because there are some in the group that are just, they're God's people, but they're faulty people. Right?
Yeah.
There are some amidst the group that's simply gone out of the way. They're not of this other group. Right? Of some, you're to have compassion, making a difference. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment that is spotted by the flesh. You see, it ain't that simple. It ain't like the Southern Baptist guy did this morning when I was watching the TV, and he laid out serving the Lord in a 1-2-3 pattern. If you do this, you got it. It ain't that easy. And let me tell you, it ain't that easy when you look from my vantage point here back there, or you sit there and you look amongst yourselves, whatever it might be. You know what? We don't know who's who for sure and who's what.
Exactly.
You know that?
That's it.
I mean, there are people, and I won't name names because that's not the appropriate thing to do. But there are people that I've been told about where they are now, and it just blows my mind. I mean, there's one person in particular I can think of that it's on my mind, and I went to that person's home, and that person, when that person got up in the morning and was making breakfast, there was tapes on of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ being preached. And now that person has just totally abandoned the gospel. And it blows my mind. You know that? You know why it really blows my mind? Because it lets me know there could be me.
Exactly.
That's why. You know, it's easy for me to say, oh, but see, I'll never do that. That'll never happen to me. I'll tell you what, I pray God it won't. I mean, I pray God that I'm not deceived. You know? But the problem is, if you're deceived, you don't know it. Because if you deceived and you did know it, you wouldn't be deceived any longer. That's the whole point. It's the problem with deception. You can't know it. You can't. Yeah, it's just of some making a difference. Why? Because there are tares among the wheat. Right? And you remember what our Lord said about the tares in the wheat, especially in the beginning. They look just alike. Yeah, and let them alone. And say, well, but once they get a little older, you begin to maybe recognize. There are red flags sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? There are red flags.
Yeah.
But that's the problem. All right, there are some red flags. Time to do business now. Bring it to order. Bring the court to order. You have to pull them right up. Get them out. Be careful. You might pluck up a wheat.
That's right.
You know what our Lord said? Be careful. You might pluck up a wheat. And you do that, you're dealing in God's business now.
Exactly.
What did Christ say? Let them alone. Right? Leave them alone. God will separate them in the end.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what, my only hope is that I'm a wheat.
Exactly.
That's my only hope. My only hope is not, well, here I am, I'm preaching the gospel, y'all, I'm good shape. Sorry about you folks.
Yeah.
Me and Joe, we're pretty safe. We're up here preaching the gospel to you. Huh? So you can't say that, right?
No.
Well, if there are people that said, we preached in your name, and he said, you depart from me. That just kind of leaves you totally in God's hands, don't it?
Yes, sir.
I just got, if I just do better. They did a lot of better.
Yeah.
It just didn't cut it. Yeah. It's old wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? Father, I pray that you comfort us in Christ. Cause us to fear. To fear not those that can destroy our bodies, but that can destroy both our body and soul in hell. May we fear thee. But Lord, also give us that comfort, that peace, that assurance that comes with that grace that you give concerning the person and work of Christ. Bless our fellowship here together as we eat together and have time to spend together with one another. I thank you in Christ's name. Amen.